Everybody's making their way out of the sanctuary. If y'all could, go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word and turn to Numbers chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 22, and this is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. I titled this, Dumber Than a Donkey? I'm going to put it to me. Am I dumber than a donkey? I'm going to put it that way. Not you guys. This is about me. First of all, let's define the word dumb, because it carries some power. When you hear that word, you know, we try to not get our kids not to say that. The definition of dumb is not showing or having good judgment or intelligence. Not showing or having good judgment or intelligence. I do consider myself to have better judgment and higher intelligence than a donkey. I do. Y'all don't have to say amen to that. That says no, it's okay. Balaam here tonight in this passage is going to show us the core decision, what's right at the very heart of this, that proved that during an upcoming moment, he was dumber than the donkey that he was riding on. And every one of us, me first, are in jeopardy each and every day. We're put in positions where we can absolutely prove ourselves to not be very intelligent and make terrible decisions of judgment. So I think this is a helpful, I think we can learn from Balaam tonight. Absolutely. Let's get into the first truth. The first truth is God's children threaten King Balak. I'm going to read the first four verses. This is a long passage. These will be the only ones that I read verbatim. But follow along with me. Numbers 22. Starting at the first verse, then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now, this horde will lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So that's the scene. That's the setting. That's what's going on that is going to lead Balak to make these future decisions. And the world often, as we see Balak, the world often perceives God's people as a threat when God is moving among them. Balak feared Israel's power, but ironically, he had no fear of the God who was giving them the power. He knew, though, by looking at what the Israelites had done or what God had done through the Israelites, he knew that he did not have the human power to overtake them and get them out of his land. Just one quick reminder, the world will not love us. The unbelieving world is not going to just open its arms and love us. Why? I'm going to give you two passages of Scripture. I have to read these regularly. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So why would the world not like us, not love us? Because we're of God, which is totally in opposition of the evil one. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So that's what's at stake. That's what's out there, seeking to devour all of us as believers. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit, and thank God we have His sovereign protection. Although unable to physically overcome Israel, Balak will not go down without a fight. And this is, tie this to today's world, the world will not go down without a fight coming against us as believers either. He's going to take some measures to ensure his security from this threat. And one thing we need to always remember, especially in today, we are continuously in a spiritual battle. It rages around us. And any time that we think that that's not real or that's not going on or it's just a facade, we're setting ourselves up for error. Our second truth is Balaam obeys God's first clear no. I'm going to be speaking from verses 5 through 13. So Balak knew of Balaam's prophetic power, but would not turn himself, would not bow a knee to the God that has given Balaam power. Instead, he is going to go to Balaam, the prophet of God, the seer of God, and he's going to try to manipulate him and get God's power through him to fulfill his ends in the world. He offered fees for divination to curse Israel. So he gets a little money out. We're going to get a little, put a little change in Balaam's pocket. And Balaam's first thing here, his initial encounter when we see him, he wisely waits on God's word. He comes out of the gate strong. He obeyed outwardly. He told the men, no, I'm not going to go over there and curse Israel. You just need to go on back, take your money, and go on back over there. I'm going to stay truthful. So outwardly, he absolutely obeys and he sends them away. I don't know about you, but the world regularly tempts me to compromise my walk with God. It's everywhere. There's always a little temptation, always a little silver, a little glitter out there. As Christians, we are warned and commanded to not love the world. Everybody with me? Two verses here. I have to read these regularly. 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world. Okay, well, there it is. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is strong. The Bible tells us if we are just in love with this sinful world around us, that the love of the Father is not in us. I want the love of the Father in me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. So if those are temptations that you're dealing with, I know I deal with them. I know they're real. If we're dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and we're dealing with the tendency to boast with pride, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that not one of those things is from our Father. James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? That's strong. So when we're trying to be friends with the world and be like the world and be part of the world, that's actually putting us in a position where we're in total opposition. We're fighting against God. That ain't good. I don't want to fight against God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, is this telling us to be ugly to every person that's not a believer? Is this telling us to just treat them horrible and do it? No. But we're not supposed to support them as they pursue all their unbeliefs and all the things that go against God. We're not to support that. We're supposed to share the truth with them. But we certainly shouldn't join them and try to be part of it. I've played that part many times. And clearly, right here, that is a sin. The world will tempt you to compromise your relationship with God. God desires each and every believer in here tonight to be apart from the world. Where do I get that? Romans 12:2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what's the strategy? Renew your mind at the beginning of each day. I don't know if you're like me. It's every day. I've not found anything that I can do that's going to get me 3 weeks down the road. It is a battle. I have to make the decision. I'm for Jesus Christ today, that's at the beginning of every day. And if I don't do that, my flesh will gladly take over and put me back in the same rut that I was in. It's just the way that it works. So we got to renew our mind at the beginning of each day. And many times, if you're like me, I got to renew my mind about lunch. I got to renew my mind again about 3 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock. But that's just what it takes if we want to glorify God. And it's worth it. Just recalibrate. Let's do a little self-check. I titled these appropriately. You can input your name if you'd like. Philip, what in this world pulls your attention? What pulls yours? Philip, what in this world competes with your time that you should be given to God? One more. Philip, what in this world are you tolerating that God doesn't tolerate? Many of the things around us in our society today that we gripe about and complain about, me too, are there merely because enough Christians began to tolerate it. And I venture to say, through the power of God and the lack of tolerance from Christians, a few of those things could get diminished and turn around. Let's move on to our third truth. Balaam's heart cracks under temptation. So Balaam did good the first time, but like I said, Balak is persistent. This is from verses 14 through 21. So Balak, the king of Moab, doubles down. He says, we ain't going to take no for an answer. We're going to get the most esteemed people in Moab, the most popular guys, some of our most wealthy dudes that everybody knows, likes, and respects. We're going to get them together, and then we're going to send more money, and y'all go tell him. Go tell him I need that curse. So that's what Balak does. At first, our prophet Balaam refuses. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't go against my Lord. I can't do that. But why don't y'all stay the night, and I'll just see if the Lord has anything else to say. God had already said no. It was clear. He said, no, you're not going to go, and no, you're not going to curse him. That was the first time. So he's like, but let me see if God changed his mind. He is essentially, like I've done many times, shopping for an answer that may be a little more in line with what he wanted. God responds conditionally. He says, if the men come to call you, go, but speak only my word. Now that's kind of confusing. God's yes in verse 20 was the judgment on him. It's not a blessing. I didn't write this, but I thought it was really good. The greatest judgment God can give a man is to let him have his own way. I thought that was fantastic. Because, boy, I have gotten my own sinful way many, many, many times, and it was not at all what I wanted on the other side of it. So that's what God just says, yeah, go. So what does Balaam do? He saddles his donkey and he goes. It says he got up first thing in the morning. He was excited, delighted and excited. Let me get my donkey ready. We're going to go over there. Entertaining what God has already forbade opens the door to disaster. That has tricked me I don't know how many times. I'll just leave it right here. I'm not going to do this thing. And I'm just going to leave it. But I'm not going to touch it. That's like y'all baking me a big old batch of chocolate oatmeal cookies when I'm on a diet, and me taking them from you and just going and putting them on the counter of my house. I may make it a couple of hours, but them things will be calling to me, hey, Philip, Philip. Next thing I know, I'm walking a little closer to those chocolate oatmeal cookies. Next thing I know, I had to wipe my mouth because I can try to shove them in my forehead trying to eat them. I love those things. That's what we do with sin when we entertain it. You leave it there long enough where you can get around it. Also, another thing I don't want you to miss, the world won't quit easy. In Balak's case, what he did is he upped the ante. He said, okay, I tried to get you at this price. I got some more money. Go get him. See if you. I'll pay a higher price for him. That's where the world is. That's where it's got plenty. It's got plenty of money. It'll just keep throwing it at you. It ain't in short supply. And if not, we'll just print some more. And what we see is Balaam's lingering desire for riches pull him forward. After resisting sin, the main thing that we need to do is regroup. When you fight against sin through God's power and He allows you to endure that temptation, the last thing you need to do is rest and go, okay, I can relax, I can let my guard down, I'm good, nothing's... The best illustration I can think of, I love going out and playing in big waves. It's like being out there when they're about 10 foot. I like to go out there and see if I can stand it without them knocking me down. It would be like the temptation comes and I endure that first one, and then I turn around and start talking to everybody. Guess what's coming right behind it? Another 10 footer that's going to slap me right down under the water. That's the way oftentimes temptation comes, and we must not rest. We've got to regroup. Our final truth is Balaam proves dumber than a donkey. I think we got time to read the whole passage. Everybody in Numbers 22? Let's start there in the 22nd verse. But God was angry because he was going. Remember, first temptation, God said clearly, no, do not go, do not curse them. When Balaam went back, God was like, yeah, go ahead and go. But now he's mad. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding, Balaam was riding on his donkey, and he had two servants with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. There's one time. So that's your first time. Balaam, his two servants are going. There's a donkey there. There's an angel in front of him with a sword. The donkey looks up, sees the angel of the Lord, and is like, nope, and turns to the side. That's an escape. But what does he do? Yeah, you know what? This really was a bad idea. Why don't we just go back? No, he whoops fire at that donkey and says, get back on the road. 24. Here we go again. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. There's a second time. And I love the visual that there's two walls. And, you know, if you've ever ridden a horse or a donkey, you know, you're straddling that thing and your feet are hanging down the side. And I could just see that donkey going, oh, my goodness, why do we keep going this way? And he's just squeezing that old foot down there in the wall. And so what does he do? He wallops that donkey again. Verse 26, here we go. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. She's like, I'm done. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. That's the third time. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Y'all have heard me refer to that. That if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. This is where that comes from. So we've got a donkey laying on the ground. An angel of the Lord standing there. that Balaam can't see, two servants. Balaam done whipped the donkey three times. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Well, then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." Well, isn't this ironic? The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all of your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" She calls up a little history. It's like, "I have never disobeyed you. Do you think that maybe something's wrong that I'm doing this?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. Now, so this angel's got a sword, and this angel is not using this sword on him as he completely disobeys the Lord. The donkey is doing exactly what he has called it to do, and he threatens he would have killed the donkey if he would have had a sword. God's mercy, man's mercy. I'm thankful for God's mercy. Amen. The angel of the Lord, he had something to say. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me." You are going in the exact direction that I told you not to go. "But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times." Let's go back to my definition. Dumb. Not showing or having good judgment or intelligence. In this moment, that donkey shows some pretty good judgment. It realized that angel of the Lord was there and that it wasn't supposed to be going in that way. When this prophet on the back of it sitting there whooping her so that it will go that way. If she had not turned, if she had not turned aside, the donkey that he just struck three times, had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and I would have let her live. How's Balaam's judgment? How's our prophet's judgment right here? A little hypocritical? A little me sometimes? Absolutely. I've been petting that donkey. "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for not listening to me. Thank you for not letting that whooping work. Thank you, because you're the only reason I'm alive." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." And so what do we see? We see realization of sin. We see asking for forgiveness. We see a willingness to repent, which means to go back the other direction right here in this moment. That's a good example. "But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, 'Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you.' So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak." Balaam's way was contrary because of the covetousness, as the angel revealed in verse 32. He wanted that treasure. He wanted that prestige. It's tricked me many times, and I'm absolutely, if I'm confident of one thing, it will absolutely be a temptation until I leave this earth. Here's how Balaam's sin was explained in two other New Testament verses. 2 Peter 2, 12 through 15. "But these, like unreasoning animals," that's at the verse 12, now we're going to skip to 15, "forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who," here's an explanation of his sin, "loved the wages of unrighteousness." He wanted those wages, baby. So the way of Balaam isn't just sinning, it is using one's spiritual gifts for position or personal gain. Why did they come get him? Why was Balak interested in Balaam? Because of his seer, his power. He wanted him to come and use that spiritual power to curse his enemy. So he was going to use that power for personal gain. It's commercializing the faith and spiritual gifts, something that we should all refrain from. Jude 11 says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in rebellion of Korah." So we grow spiritually blind, or at least I'm speaking for myself, when worldly desires fill our heart. The more we fill our hearts and our minds with these things of the world, the less I think about God. It's just the way that it works for me. And that's not the goal of a Christian. The donkey saw and obeyed what Balaam missed. What fees for divination is the world offering you to get you to compromise what you've rightfully said no to? You've said no because God convicted you. You said no. I'm not going to do that. That will not glorify God. I'm standing on this. But they may be bringing you the second bag of money. Hey, it's a little weightier here. You sure about that no? What about a maybe? And then I'll go back and see if I can lobby for you a little more, and I'll bring a little more. What else did you say that you liked? I can bring that over here too. We'll get you a good package put together, and we'll just get that no turned to yes, and everybody's going to be happy. I can almost say that the enemy, if you're believing here tonight, I can almost say that is happening in each and every one of our lives in at least one area. Here's some things we can do. One thing is when God gives us a direction and we know it's God's direction for us, go in it. Or it may be to stay here and not go with those guys. That would have helped me a lot of times back in high school. Be thankful for the mercy of God. That poor old donkey wasn't getting no mercy from Balaam. But Balaam received mercy that he didn't deserve. I've received mercy that I didn't deserve. And we don't ever need to forget about the goodness of God, His love for us, and the mercy that He's given us that none of us earned it. None of us. And never forget about that. And lastly, because we've received that mercy, to show mercy to others as God has shown mercy to us. That's not easy to do. But nobody ever said it was going to be easy. Did Balaam rise above the ranks of animal intelligence and judgment in the end? That's the question. So did he rise above the ranks after this? Well, let's fast forward just a little bit. Numbers 23, 11 and 12. Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have actually blessed them." He replied, "Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" So in the end of this story, at this moment in Balaam's life, he did show intelligence and good judgment because he did speak what God called him to speak. God did not call us and deliver us from sin and darkness so that we could live as unreasoning animals. We were not delivered from the world for that. Although I have been that many times. We're called and equipped with the Holy Spirit for the highest purposes of God, which is to glorify Him. Know that the world will persistently seek to tempt you and drag you down into disobeying the commands of the Father. Three things that we can do every day. Pray up each morning. Know that it's coming. Know that today is going to be difficult. Know that the enemy is coming after you. He's prowling around. And be prayed up for God to protect you. Set a hedge of protection around you. so that you can go forward and be strong and not end up like this. Number two, we get it from Romans, renew your mind. Every day, renew your mind. And lastly, make decisions that will position you to obey God. Would this have been a different story when he saw those guys coming back if he was just like, no, I'm going to get out of here. I ain't got time for this. I don't know. But many times that would have worked for me. If I had positioned myself better, I definitely would have had a greater chance of obeying God. When are we dumber than a donkey? Anytime we compromise the commands of God for the desires of the world. Anytime. Let's pray.